And now more of Inside Central Oregon.
Hey, it's Dave Clemens. Good morning. I've got Morgan Schmidt here, the Executive Director for Central Oregon and Eastern Oregon Red Cross. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Good.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah. I know you guys are so busy. I mean, year round. But I always think of you guys during fire season, so I thought we should check in.
Yeah. Thanks so much for checking in.
So far, fire season's actually been pretty good, right?
We got to knock on wood. We don't talk about it out loud that way. But yeah, so far, we've been really glad that not as many communities have been impacted as the past.
Right. But you serve a pretty huge area with Central and Eastern Oregon. So you have set up shelters this year.
We have, yeah. Our chapter covers 12 counties out here in Central and Eastern Oregon and three tribal partners. So yeah, it's pretty huge area, 38,000 square miles.
Wow.
Just so much land and a lot of people and communities that can be impacted. So yeah, so far this summer, we've already had to open 12 different shelters across our region. So Oregon and Southwest Washington and have helped over 100 families that have been impacted by the fires we've had so far.
Now, was that on purpose, 12? Like you did one in every area, in every county?
No, we try.
Did it work that way?
Ideally, it's zero, Dave.
Right,
ideally,
right.
Okay. It's none.
Well,
at
I
all.
Just
yeah.
thought you said 12 counties and then you got 12 shelters. I'm like,
now
we're just setting up shelters for the
They're
fun of it.
They're just lining up that way.
Right. Okay. Right now, we seem to be doing okay. At the time of this recording,
never
know.
I know. We have strike teams set up in the whole state right now, where we have people who have come in, volunteers from across the country who are here on site on this side of the mountains and on the west side, who are able to go. You know, as soon as we get that call from a county emergency manager that says we need a shelter, we're ready to go.
And is that the main thing you guys do when it comes to a fire, is you're the shelter people?
We're the shelter people, shelters and meals. And then, you know, we can help depending on the particular emergency or the scale of it. We can help a little bit with some of that recovery effort and getting people to their next best step after they've been evacuated.
Oh, okay. So your work continues after the fire sometimes.
Yeah, we try not to leave people hanging. You know, we know depending on the the intensity of the event, you know, we lost 60 homes up in Wasco County already this summer to the Rowena fire, which was really impactful. And so it just depends on the kind of disaster and how many families and to what extent they're impacted that we're able to offer assistance.
Right. Yeah. Last year at this time,
way worse. We had a record-breaking summer last year in terms of acres burned in Oregon. So tons and tons of fires popping up all over the place. Knock on wood, and thankfully not very many primary residences impacted by those fires because they were pretty rural. But every summer we're seeing more and more intense, extreme weather events, not only in fire season, but year round, just more extreme weather as our climate changes.
What would happen if the Red Cross wasn't there? I mean, somebody else would have to step up and figure out the whole shelter thing. And you guys probably have it down pretty good.
Well, that is what we do, you know, and we're really, really lucky to work with a lot of community partners. You know, we can't do what we do without folks from the community rallying around, whether that's churches or schools that open their doors to be the actual facility where we might shelter folks, or the, you know, 90%+ of our workforce that are all volunteers, either locally or from further afield. You know, we can't do any of it without our community folks.
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure.
And people come out of the woodwork all the time. It's been one of the real privileges of this role has been to see people the way they come out of the woodwork when their community's impacted and really step up to help their neighbors.
Right. Sometimes you're more of the organizer of the people that want to help.
Exactly. Right? Yeah. Sometimes, or we just come alongside and say, here's what else we can offer.
Gotcha.
Because not every community is prepared to shelter a few hundred people for an extended period of time. And we have the ability to scale depending on the need.
Speaking of being prepared, how can people prepare for fire season?
Oh,
the fact of the matter is we live on the edge of a forest.
Yes.
All the way around.
All the way.
So how do people prepare for fire season?
Thank you so much. You know, I love having this conversation because it's not a matter of if, but a matter of when. Mm-hmm. You know, the Red Cross, even 10 years ago, was responding to an extreme weather emergency or natural disaster once a month. And this year our average, and last year our average, was once every 2 weeks. So we're seeing those more and more often. It's not a matter of really if it's going to impact our community, but when. I think last year in 2024, 11 million Americans were displaced by some sort of natural disaster, which is an extraordinary amount of people.
Yeah.
And so,
I mean, that's a percentage.
I mean, it's a huge percentage.
Yeah.
A quarter of the people in the whole world impacted by natural disaster were here in the United States. And so the more that our families are prepared and our communities are prepared, the better and more resilient we will all be when something does happen. So a couple things. We want to make sure that people have a plan of some kind in place. So make sure that you're talking with your loved ones and you have some idea of, you know, if we are not at home, where do we meet? Do we go back home? If you need to shelter in place at home, do you have a kit that that can sustain you and your family and your pets for 2 weeks? In your car, do you have a go bag that you know, has about 3 days of supplies in it for you and your loved ones? These are the sorts of preparedness conversations we love having to make sure that people actually have on hand what they might need in the event that support and services aren't available for a little while.
Sure. I would think you'd medications.
Medications,
right, as well, not
important
just food
paper.
And water.
Work, absolutely, yeah. And that's not just not just for us, but you know, a lot of people are mindful of their pets. You know, you want to make sure you have a crate available, and everything that your pet might need, what your kids might need, what you might need, in order to make it a few days or a couple of weeks at home.
Is there a good resource out there where you could find a, that you know of, that you could find maybe a list of the things you should have?
I'm so glad you asked. Yes, you can go to redcross.org and just put that in the search bar and it'll pop right up for you. We've got a ton of resources. And really, there's a ton across the internet, but the Red Cross has a pretty great couple of resources for what to pack in those bags. You can buy them pre-made, but I tend to tell people, you know what you need over the course of 72 hours or 2 weeks. And
sure.
So making sure it's specific to you and your family is really important.
Yeah. And even if you do know what you need, I think it's a good idea to look at those lists.
Oh, 100%. Because
there's always something on there that you're like, oh, I didn't think of that.
Absolutely.
You know, that toilet paper could be important or whatever it is. I don't know if that goes in the go bag or not.
But, can't hurt. Can't hurt. Yeah, you're not going to regret that decision.
You could use it for so many things.
But I think a lot of us talk about this concept of preparedness as if it's a, you know, an icebreaker at a, you know, maybe I'm not that fun at parties, but you know, what would you grab from your house if it caught on fire? We do these like, you know,
sure.
Icebreaker questions, but we really want to make sure it goes beyond that hypothetical to like an actual plan with an actual kit. And then I think the third piece is to talk with your family and to be aware of how you might stay connected to communication and information.
Sure.
If something happens. So we've had major disasters where cell phone towers go down, which I know is everybody's nightmare when there's not cell connectivity or Wi-Fi. How are you going to communicate? What's that going to look like? Do you have a crank radio in that kit so you can pay attention to what weather alerts are and emergency
Those
alerts.
Crank radios are amazing.
There you go. You got to have a crank radio.
Yeah. Do you have one?
I do have one.
You just crank that baby. I love those things.
They're fun, even
when there's no emergency. Yes, exactly.
Exactly.
Everybody should have a crank radio. They're not super expensive. Yeah. And then, you know, you could listen to this radio station on it.
You could, 100%.
If you wanted to.
You should.
Yeah, you should.
Just crank it up every day.
You should.
Listen to Dave Clemens.
How do you guys release information when there is an emergency to the public? How are you guys doing that?
Great question. Usually it's, we have our own streams. There's a Red Cross emergency app that people can get. Of course, we keep our Facebook up to date and try to keep updates going that way. But oftentimes it's in coordination with the county emergency management. So
sure.
I give a huge shout out. We have amazing emergency managers and county folks that are really good at sending out those alerts. If you're not signed up or you don't know if you're signed up, you can go to oralerts.gov and sign up for alerts for any county in Oregon to make sure that you're getting evacuation notices and other important information in a timely way. So that's the first thing I always tell people is make sure you're signed up for those alerts. And then oftentimes we will kind of mirror information on a county emergency manager or sheriff's Facebook page or kind of how they're getting information out to the community. We will just mirror that and make sure that we're in lockstep sharing the same information so that people are as clear as possible about what's happening.
Before I let you go, Morgan, how can people help you guys in your mission? What would be the best thing people can do?
Thanks for asking. You know, I keep mentioning that we can't do what we do without the help of volunteers. And anytime you see a red vest on TV or you see the Red Cross in action in the community, more than 90% of those folks are volunteers given their time. And so we're always looking to build our team in Central and Eastern Oregon. And we've got some pretty cool jobs. We were in Harney County for the whole month of April for the flooding out there. And I got to see firsthand an amazing spectacle of a woman who is a volunteer with us, who's a nurse practitioner, a retired nurse practitioner, and she signed up to become a certified forklift driver and was moving around pallets of bottled water. The roles that you can do with the Red Cross are vast. And so if you're interested in something and you think that your skills could be put to work in the midst of a disaster, an emergency, we want to talk to you. So you can go to redcross.org/volunteer and sign up with us. And we would love to add you to our team.
Okay. Been talking to Morgan Schmidt, the executive director for Central and Eastern Oregon Red Cross. We did record this in advance. So I just want to say, if you are dealing with an emergency right now, Morgan, I hope you're being safe.
Thanks, Dave.
And hopefully we'll have you in again soon. Give us the website one more time for you guys.
Redcross.org. You can find everything there.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
Do you have questions, comments, or a topic for Inside Central Oregon? Send your comments to Horizon Broadcasting Group, 854 Northeast 4th Street, Bend, Oregon, 97701. Inside Central Oregon is a public affairs presentation from Horizon Broadcasting Group.